A story of anguish, struggle, and hope. I would like to introduce you to my dear friends Gary and Michelle Amaro. They have known the Blessed Hope for many years. They call it the Victorious Gospel of Jesus Christ. I remember when living in Africa how their website greatly helped me. Their faith, love, and commitment to Christ inspire me. A couple of months ago, I called Gary and stumbled into a very critical and heart-wrenching moment in their lives. Michelle and Gary had just received news of their son's death. I was shocked and lost for words. It was totally unexpected. Gary wept on the phone. All I could do was pray from the depth of my heart. I asked Gary to share his testimony. As Jerry shared with you, I have just recently lost my son. The grief of losing a son at only 35 cut much deeper than I ever would have imagined, even knowing he is in a better place. Jerry shared with me an email he received from a mother who had just lost her son to suicide. She was so thankful that she knew the God of the Blessed Hope. Otherwise, she would have tried to drown her agony in drugs and alcohol. I cannot begin to imagine what our grief would be like if we believed Scott was being tormented forever in some hell because he failed God. It would be unbearable. We are also so grateful to know that our deceased parents are secure in Christ's love. They were not born again when they died. Nothing, not even death, can stop Jesus from drawing people to himself. Please take a moment to think about this. What would life be like if you thought your child was in agony and suffering for all eternity with no possible hope of escape? How would you cope? How many millions have known such anguish? According to many churches, Scott would be in hell right now. How could we remain sane if we believe this? His death has given us much more compassion for the billions who have lost loved ones. I came to understand God's unfailing love for all in a rather unusual manner. God showed me that Jesus was the Savior of all at the beginning of my conversion. He did so in three ways. One, He let me walk in perfect love for 3 days. I couldn't hate anyone on earth. This was His love, not mine. Two, He showed me a vision of all people dipped into darkness for a season, but eventually restored to Him after learning valuable lessons. 3. I had a deep hunger for studying the Bible. The Holy Spirit illuminated many texts, revealing that all humanity would be saved through the cross of Christ. It was so easy to share Christ in those days. The fruit and gifts of the Spirit poured out like rivers of living water. Sharing the gospel was as natural as breathing. When one pastor learned I was teaching God's unfailing love for all, he rebuked me. He said God hated sin and those who committed it. For God was holy. Only those born again and living a holy life escaped hell. So I went to several other pastors to get their opinion. They were all in basic agreement. Those not born again go to hell forever. Some said it was a place of conscious separation from God and the fire is not literal. Others said the fire was literal and that God does not send people there. They send themselves by rejecting Christ. I was told that to disagree with the majority view would be a sign of a rebellious spirit. So I yielded. Little did I know that in that decision, I submitted to the traditions of men, which made God's word of no effect. This snuffed out the love, light, and liberty I had in Christ. I lived like this for several years until I got fed up with the hypocrisy of it all. I saw atheists as better off than hellfire-believing Christians. I finally prayed, God, take my life. On that same day, he put in my hands a series of booklets by J. Preston Eby. Eby explained how hell crept into the church and Bible translations. He quoted early church fathers who taught the salvation of all and showed how the mistranslation of a few Hebrew and Greek words distorted God's character and plan to redeem the world. I soon found Bible translations that did not have the word hell in them. I also found reference works confirming that the original languages of the Bible did not contain the concept of everlasting punishment. During that time, the Holy Spirit reminded me how He had showed me this at the very beginning. How powerful and blinding are man's traditions which Jesus warned about? They make the Word of God of no effect. Matthew chapter 15, verses 6 through 9. I was living proof. It has taken me many years to break off tradition's chains. I am not completely free yet, but the light of the victorious gospel of Jesus Christ is shining brighter in my heart. Paul wrote, "What if some, like my parents, did not believe and were without faith? Do their lack of faith and their faithlessness nullify and make ineffective and void the faithfulness of God and His fidelity to His Word? By no means." Romans chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, Amplified. God is faithful towards everyone, including His faithless chosen and elect who do not believe His redemptive promises for all people, such as their enemies. Thank you, Father, for giving me the assurance that my parents will be drawn to Jesus, that Scott is now at rest with you, and I can once again give hope to every person I meet. Jesus is indeed the Savior of all humanity. That's news good enough to tell everyone. Gary Amoreau. Note, Gary's website, tentmaker.org, provides numerous reference works in support of the Blessed Hope. See his inspiring video, 99 is Not Enough, on YouTube. He uses the terms universalism and Christian universalism interchangeably. Please read question 24 of Appendix 5.